every day.
Blog Talk Radio.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So go and get to clapping. Go pop a phone, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan. Drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Coolio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all.
Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico. Say the word and we go. You can be my flica. Girl, I'll be a flico mama. A promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Shopping sprees in Paris. Everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it you?
Is it me?
Is it me?
Say it's us. And I'll agree. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
You say you want a good time. But here I am, baby. Here I am, baby.
Talk to me,
baby.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. I apologize for not being around the past few weeks. A couple of times I've forgotten, and one time I was just too damn lazy and couldn't be asked to do anything. So we are on day 3,975 of the hostage situation, also known as the Wisconsin lockdown because of COVID. And all we can say is fuck COVID in the air. We want to go out. We want to do things. However, we understand that we have to stay inside. Even more importantly, and the importance of staying inside is when it hits home, how deadly this illness is and everything. When there's two people who I know, one of them not personally, but was related to someone I know about. No, let me start again. I know of, passed away from it. One is my eldest son, Robert. His uncle Danny died of it recently. And those of you who know Mike, the wrestling encyclopedia, his grandma sadly passed away from it. And, you know, so it kind of hits home more when you hear things like that and, you know, having to keep yourself safe and all this lot. Yeah, admittedly, the people in my home don't go out. It's not like we were out partying every day and doing stuff every day. But having those options of being able to do something completely taken away from you really is a hard thing to deal with. You know, it's, hold on, because she's eating. I mean, you go from one thing where, you know, you're allowed to go to the mall or go to different places. And I think Mike was the last one who was actually able to go out properly and do something when he went to Half Price Books that one day. You remember? That was, I think, the last time anybody really went and did something. And wasn't it like the 2 days later we were put on lockdown and those stores were closed and everything? Yeah. And so, you know, it is kind of hard. I mean, yeah, AJ and Mike have been able to go out to Walmart and to donate and those type of things. But, you know, there's that rushed feeling. You know what I mean? It's like not a leisurely thing, like how before we used to go to Walmart, look around, that type of stuff. And it's, you know, the other problem is that there's a 3-step plan to like reopening, and they said we had to have 2 weeks of either flatline or declining COVID cases, and then they would start a slow reopen. Well, the idiots who protested the lockdown, a bunch of them have come down with COVID. So that kind of then threw it out the window because it went up again, you know? And I think that's part of the, you know, the big problem is that now we're in that situation where it's kicking us back. And it all plays into Governor Eva's hands in regards to this court case that's going on right now, saying that it's unconstitutional for everybody to be stuck inside. Well, to a certain degree, I understand where people are coming to be reopened. But, you know, those protests and the spike proves that, you know, what's going on is a real issue. Now, I do have some friends who are like major conspiracy theorists saying, oh, it's not as bad as people say, and the government's making it worse. And then they're pointing out that there are certain states that have got very, very low, very low amounts of people who are suffering from it. But when you look at the states that are involved in regards to that, they're all the ones in the Midwest, like further south of us, but still considered Midwest, that are farming, mainly what you consider farming places. Like, let's be honest, nobody thinks about going on vacation to Ohio. You think of it as farming and everything. I feel like I'm talking to myself, about talking on phones. But anyhow, I'm going to play another song and find something to talk about that doesn't actually involve people responding. And I'll be back. Really? say we are back. I was actually, while that song was playing, it was looking for what was going on in court today in regards to the whole lockdown and whether it was a violation of state laws. And I actually hate to say it, but I'm actually backing something that the Republicans have said. And this is what they said. Now, there are a couple of things that I'm not 100% sure would work, but this is what they're coming together to say should happen. They're saying a Republican-backed stay-at-home order in Wisconsin would include a shift to regional restrictions. So instead of it being an entire state, it would be down to counties to decide on their restrictions. A move away from a state list of so-called essential businesses. GOP lawmakers who control the legislature have pushed back on the Evers administration order, but have been slow to introduce their own. However, speaking online, Assembly Speaker Robin Rochester says he hopes Republicans will never have to debut their own proposal. He would prefer to have a seat, blah, blah, blah. Where I'm trying to get down to where it is. He said, let's start to turn a dial as opposed to treating every state like it's Milwaukee. Because if we wait for Milwaukee and Brown County to be an indicator, it's going to be a really long time before Wisconsin can open up. Brown County and Milwaukee County have the highest rates of COVID. So I agree. There are other counties like up north and to the south of us, to the west of us and everything, who have extremely low cases. So why should they have to follow the same rules as Milwaukee County?
Oh, yeah, I get what
you see what I mean? It's like, yeah, Milwaukee County still has issues. Okay, let it work around, put a plan into place for Milwaukee County. But if you've got states up north that have got, say, one or two cases, let them do what they need to do. You know what I mean? So I agree with that. He's saying in regards to including specific phases for restaurants opening, starting with, and I agree with this, because we're coming up for a summer season right now,
right,
open up the restaurants that have the viable potential to have outdoor eating. Now, you know for a fact, Mike, you work at Miller Park. You know for a fact with the space and everything out there, if they don't open games, they could actually move tables outside, couldn't they?
Why moving tables out there?
Yeah. They're saying if there's a viable way that a restaurant has the outdoor space to be able to have people outdoor to eat.
Yep.
And because Miller doesn't.
They've got another little patio.
Yeah.
Out there that they can do
right.
That is true.
Then he's saying he urged to move away from a list of so-called essential businesses. And this is what we were talking about. He doesn't understand how you can go get a key made at Walmart or buy flowers for mom, but somehow if you go to a flower shop or a key shop, that would be a major threat to public health. I agree. To me, you're in more danger of catching something going to Walmart than you are from, say you wanted to get me flowers for Mother's Day, hint. And, you know, you probably are more likely to catch something going to Walmart to buy them than going to a little flower shop. And what they could do with the flower shops is, so they haven't got like lots of people in there, is, you know, have pre-made bouquets available. So it's basically a quick trip type of thing. You're in and out.
Right, because that's what it is. Like most fireplaces, like, what you want? This. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I want a dozen red roses, or I want a summer bouquet with pinks and purples. You know, you're not going in there shopping. And a lot of flower shops, as you know, deliver open right now. Can you imagine how much revenue they missed over Easter and also now coming up for Mother's Day?
Right.
So they're saying, they're also urging that the state should be able to allow churches to begin offering in-person services. That I'm not 100% sure. I think those ones who have the option of like a big parking lot should be able to perhaps move their services to outdoors. We've got some nice weather coming up. You know what I mean? Get that done.
Right.
Then they're saying, like, in regards to sporting places, that they should start by limiting it to like for the Pfizer Forum, only being able to sell half the amount of tickets, that you can't have a packed arena, but you can have half of the arena filled.
Right.
And they're saying in regard the same with Miller Park, but they said Miller Park is different because it's outdoors. They can have the roof open most of the time.
Right.
You know? And then they're saying in regards to like certain games and everything, not having out of state people coming in. Like tickets can't be sold to out of state.
Yeah,
see, but I agree it sucks, but if you're thinking about trying to get things open and starting to move in again, you know, that's what you got to do.
Right. Because normally we get out of town visitor for like playing basketball.
Right.
Plus, like, just revenue off of people coming in.
I agree, it does. But, you know, if we're still trying to keep this under control and to slowly introduce things, you got to do it slowly. Yeah, it sucks. It really does suck. We've lost so far. I wouldn't say we've lost the basketball season, but it's getting close.
Right.
You know, things are just. I think what a lot of people want is that sense of normalcy. You want to be able to sit down like we used to, throw on a basketball game. It was hilarious when, you know, we waited, oh, are the Brewers playing at home today? You know, and all this lot. And, you know, there's so many other things, and I'm not going into Mike's personal details, but there's a lot of things that he had planned for this year that we should be doing right now. You know what I mean? Like, right now, we should have been moving. Or moved. Period. That's all been thrown back. And I've got a feeling it's going to be thrown back further because, you know, the way they're arguing, and this is the other thing, they're saying that they're going to make it so that landlords can't evict people for up to 6 months, that they have to give their tenants 6 months to catch up on bills, which will bring rent and everything, which will bring me to something in a minute. But we'll see how, you know, that flies. Now, the other thing that's going around is the possibility of another stimulus package to come out. And that they were trying to do it so that it would be $2,000 a month per family, not per person, per family for up to 6 months. Now, if that is the case, that would really help a lot of people. But then it brings it onto the dumb fuck side of things, excuse my language. And the dumb fuck side of things that we will say is this. You guys both know that here in Wisconsin from November through to, is it April 16th or April 1st or something, that We Energies can't cut people off. Well, we had this lockdown. We had this lockdown before that actually stopped, if you remember. So We Energies, because we're in a state of emergency, and not just a state of emergency, a country in emergency, We Energies can't disconnect people. So people have still not paid their electric bills. But what are they doing with their stimulus checks? They're not paying their bills. They're buying cars and TVs and stuff. And I'm not saying it's everybody. I'm really not, because I know there are some people who were smart, were like, you know what? Thank you. They were like, I don't know what's going to happen next month. I'm paying my bills. I'm making sure, you know, those are taken care of. But there's people out there who have got $2,000-$3,000 electric bills.
Right, and they're going to be screwed.
There's people who haven't paid their rent because they know they can't get evicted right now.
But they would assume.
And the thing of it is that the one thing we have done, didn't we do it? Even though it was like, we paid the rent. We paid the electric. Paid the phone. Because I don't know about you guys, I like having a roof over my head, the lights to be able to put on of an evening and talk on the phone when I need to.
Right.
You know, and I think part of the problem is that there are so many people out there who saw that stimulus package as a way to go shopping. And yeah, if you're up to date on your bills, then go for it, boo-boo, go spend that money. But all of our bills are up to date, and we even managed, including Mike, to put some money aside for when we move.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's not ideal, but you know, while you're sat there, you need to check your tracking on DHL.
Yeah, you're right. I need to do that.
And, you know, it's just ridiculous that there are so many people out there who, you know, saw that they're going, oh, it's free money, it's free money. Yeah, it was free money. Actually, no, it wasn't, because it's coming from your taxes. So it's basically your money. But on top of that, they're not being smart about it. You know, this situation is going to end. Your lights will get cut off.
And some of us will be laughing.
What are your thoughts on people being idiots, Mike? Oh, he's in pain.
But I'm just surprised that some people don't be thinking about, you get this money, it's supposed to help you like with bills and stuff, although it's not enough.
No, but if you just say, for example, we know for a fact ourselves, because we've dealt with this, when our electric bill got high, we got hold of We Energies and said, can we set up a payment plan? Mm-hmm. Did they or did they not set up a damn payment plan? And all the people have to do is get hold of them, throw a couple of hundred at We Energies, set up a payment plan, and you're good.
Right, I'm thinking, cause if this like continues on, they should like do like send them another.
Well, there was this thing we had in England for a while, and it was a thing where if you were a family and you had young kids and you got behind on your electric bill, they couldn't disconnect you because you had kids, for starters. But they also did this program where it was like we had meters that were put in. And you had a key, and it was like a digital key. It was actually like a memory card in a plastic key. And you would go put money on that, and then, you know, come back home, put it in your meter. If that ran out, your lights went out. And then you had to go find somewhere else, put some more money on it.
Yeah, you're right. Because I remember you telling me that.
Yeah.
Didn't they used to, like, you put, like, money in the meter?
Yeah, we used to have money meters, but they changed that over because they would get broken into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the gas one was a card. It was like a credit card that you would put in. But you go to a store, and they give them the key and say, I want $50 on this key. They put it on there, you go home, and that was your electric, and you could work out your budget for the month and stuff.
Right.
And you did that if you could not afford to have, like, bills all the time, you know, or if you were in arrears. So you still had your electric, but if you ran out and you didn't have any more money, you were a shit out of luck until you got more money.
But, do you think that the stuff that they did in England, you think they should do it here?
Yeah. I do, because I think it's incredibly unfair for people to be in a situation, if you really are in a bad situation. I'm not on about the people who are just too fucking lazy to pay their bills. But there were times where you and I both know we were in situations where it was hard to pay bills and to come up with the money we needed and the such like. Hello?
Right.
Did you respond?
No, I'm just looking at the
And I think if we had that option, it would help. You know what I mean? Where you could put, say, $25 on a month.
Right.
Or a week or whatever.
Or something that was mentioned, like, because right now Milwaukee, the county only has like We Energies.
Yep.
for Empty Bills and there's other places.
There's other places that have other companies.
Right.
So the cost of your electric goes down based on the monopoly of different people. We Energies can set whatever fucking price they like. We're screwed. We have no choice but to have We Energies.
Right.
You know, whereas my mum said, where she's at in England, and it never used to be like this, they've got like 4 or 5 different electric services you could go through. And they'll try buying each other out. So you'll get, you know, you have price starts going up with one, you shop around and find another one. You can do it like you do the cable.
That's what they should do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who signed that agreement to do
I don't know.
County, but it was a big mistake.
Yeah. And it's, to me, it would be such a good idea to, you know, make things easier for people. And, like, we have something in England that's called, it's similar to your rent assistance, but it's based on your income, and there isn't a 15 freaking year wait for it. All landlords are legally obligated to take it. You basically, you have a form that you fill out, and you put your landlord's details, how much your rent is. You have to send in, like, proof of wages or social, in your case, like social security, that type of thing. And then they'll send a payment to your landlord, like adjust your rent. So say, for example, your rent's $600 a month. You may only have to pay out of that, like, $200. And then the county, you know, the area that you live in pays the rest, the council.
Yeah.
And that's available for everyone. There isn't a huge wait list. It's not like you have to wait to get on it. And only certain places take it. Landlords are guaranteed their money, so all of them take it. And I'm not joking.
Because I know, like, this landlord takes
rent. Yeah, he takes rent assistance.
Yeah, we're just not getting up to not get
right. Well, and the other thing is that we don't want to stay here, so.
Right.
But it's just, to me, it's just comical that for a country that's supposed to be one of the best countries in the world, it's so behind here on so many things, like crazy behind.
Yeah, we're already getting something. Do you think of any more?
The other thing we have in England that you guys don't know have over here is that a lot of landlords do your rent per week. Because, as you know, there's a lot of people who get paid weekly. And as you can appreciate, it's hard putting money aside each week.
Sure.
So a lot of landlords will actually do weekly rent. Even though your lease is month to month or a year lease, they break it down to how much it is per week. That is wonderful because you can go and pay your rent weekly if you need to. You can pay it monthly too. You can pay it bi-weekly. You know, but it just makes life a whole lot easier doing those things, you know. Right. Let's be honest, coming up, say for argument's sake, coming up with $150 each week is easier than trying to find $600 in one lump.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
So, but okay, we're going to play another song and then we'll be back.
now. Got dollars, got euros, got yen, I got pounds.
Zeros.
Calling me up, cause your bad check bound. My new chick 100 and she got her own dinero.
Zero.
You think I'm thinking about your ass?
And we are back. So we're going to sidestep now. We've done our little COVID thing. God bless everyone. Stay safe. We love you. All that good stuff. And we will move on to wrestling. Okay. How the hell's Money in the Bank going to work on Sunday?
Okay, this is weird. I guess they're going to have everybody, all men and women who's competing in the match, whatever, start off from the bottom.
Right, and go to the top, and then they have to climb a ladder at the top to get the briefcase.
Right.
But they're setting both the men and women off at the same time.
Right, which is crazy.
Like, how's it going to work? I agree with what Daniel Bryan says. You know, are they going to be able to wrestle in the offices? Are they going to get in trouble for breaking something in Vince McMahon's office? I mean, seriously, how does it work? I mean, who was it? Was it Daniel Bryan also who said, can he just get in the elevator and go straight up? I mean...
Right. If they have an elevator...
So no matter how hard it is...
That'd be the key thing, if they have one.
And I think that means I have to leave Chris.
I'm thinking they're probably going to try to make them walk up the stairs. Just
right.
Where do I even begin to do that?
It's just really confusing as to how things are going to go on. And I don't know. It's just bizarre. But isn't this Sunday also that Undertaker?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right after Money in the Bank. It's going to be like part one. Part two will be next Sunday. Three will be the Sunday after. It'll be all the way to the first part.
Okay, so is it like a documentary on him or?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know that you guys don't like Undertaker. Mm-mm-mm. Not a fan of his. I'm joking. You don't have to look at me like that. But... what are your thoughts in regards to them showing it? Do you think it's a good idea to put something else on? Should they have done it before now? Who would you like to see them do something like that?
Well, what they handle if they... If WrestleMania was his last match, then if it is, this was the right time to do it. But if he's coming back, it is not.
Say hello to your fairy godmother.
Who would you like them to do like a little mini series like that on? I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of DVDs out there. There's a lot of different little shows about different wrestlers and stuff. But who do you think would be a really good one to for them to come out and say, okay, let's do this?
God, that's a hard one because, like, probably the ones we want to see is, like, currently still wrestling, and they ain't, like...
I know one that would be really good if you wouldn't be able to get the whole story in there.
Who's that? Why won't they be able to do the whole story?
If it took the book to fill his whole life story, you wouldn't be able to do it, and what not to get
Well, they could if they did it the same as how they're doing Undertaker's, where it's like a mini-series.
His book, it is really good.
The reason I can't think of anybody because, like, people that are wrestling right now is, like, still either they're in their prime or they're a little bit after their prime, but they're still wrestling or before.
Fair enough.
Kind of hard.
Can you turn that down, please? So, the other question I have for you guys is, how do you think WWE has handled doing its shows since this whole COVID outbreak?
I'm glad the shows are starting to be live, which is a good thing. But like WWE is doing, of course, you have like wherever you're wrestling and stuff like that. But earlier on, when they start doing this, when they close everything down, it was just like they do like three matches and.
They showed the Royal Rumble and other matches from different pay-per-views. Which I understand, it kind of did throw them into an awkward situation as well as to how they get around this because, you know, this is a 3-hour show. It's not like it's a little TV slot, you know. If it was a 30-minute TV slot, USA could probably put on like a rerun of something, you know what I mean? But it's a 3-hour live slot. How do you feel that?
Exactly.
What do you, I know we spoke about it once before, but I'm going back to WrestleMania and everything, but do you think that they did a good job in regards to, and I'm going back to The Undertaker, in regards to how they pulled his match off in the...
Which I've seen them before.
I mean, we sat here like, what the hell is a boneyard match, you know? You had a good knowledge of what it could possibly be. Yeah. I did like how Undertaker was talking in his regular voice. Yeah. Oh, he came down from the heartland of the South and...
The only other really good match I could say was the last man standing match with Edge and Randy Orton.
That was good. Do you think some of the wrestlers are having a hard time trying to perform without a crowd?
Yeah, they're so used to it. They don't have the crowd to feed off of anymore like they used to.
Well, and you can honestly, you can speak from experience because you have wrestled. How important is a crowd to a wrestler?
It's important to, because of the fact that it lets the wrestler know where they should be going with the match. Like, if the crowd ain't into it, then you got to pull out some high spots to get the crowd into it. And then listening to the crowd, like, if they're, like, same way, if they're booing, that means we got to do something that's going to bring them back.
Right.
If they're cheering, that means, okay, we got them now. Now we can kind of, like, slow the tempo down. But without the crowd, you got to kind of rely on the person that you're with.
Right. And I think that this is, you know, it's been probably a good, like, test for the board, so to speak, of WWE to say, you know, this is what's working for us. This is what isn't working for us. This who actually has a good gift of the gab, because I've noticed that a lot of them are having to rely a lot on monologues to carry what the crowd would normally do for them. Let's be honest, Daniel Bryan could stand in the middle of the ring and do the yes chant for 10 minutes, walk out the ring, and everyone would be happy. You know what I mean? But now they're having to talk. I mean, the prime example was Poor Edge a few weeks back when his music played and he came out, and you could see he went to do his interaction with the crowd, and they're not there. And I was going to say, I think that's hard, but he's got that persona where he can at least carry it further.
Yeah, that's true. Because you're right, because it does, like, just to see who needs what and what needs to be worked out and things like that.
What are your thoughts on the people? Oh, sorry, you look like you're about to say something.
I'm sorry, but y'all talking about that? One person that can't get an interview off to save their lives and get the crowd into it. I'm sorry. This is my personal opinion. But to me, Charlotte can't carry an interview by herself.
No, to agree with you there. She is definitely someone who needs a crowd. Don't you think?
She ain't got the gift of gab like her dad did.
Right.
Ric Flair could walk into our arena and not say a word.
Yep.
He can go into, you've seen it before, AJ. He can go into the ring, take his jacket off, and drop 3-4 elbow drops on it, and that's the whole damn thing. He ain't had to say nothing.
Yep. And I think part of the problem is that as much as I think that Charlotte is a good wrestler, I think WWE was so set on her being her father. Do you know what I mean? That she didn't get probably the same coaching on how to work a crowd and how to talk to a crowd and all that lot the way her dad did.
The one who was training her at the time for like promos was Dusty Rhodes.
But, yeah.
Dusty, of course. I feel like this. Dusty was good on the mic because he was for the people. Charlotte is a heel. She's not trying to get a reaction off the people.
Well, right, I think right now she's a face.
But even, but a lot of the time of her career, she's been a heel like her dad.
Dusty has been a babyface pretty much his whole damn career. He knows how to speak to the fans to get the fans going, to make them want to hate the other person. If you have a heel being taught by a babyface who was pretty much a babyface their whole career, the crowd's not going to react to that. You want somebody to go talk to your pop. He was pretty
much
could work babyface or a heel and get a hellified reaction from the crowd.
And I think part of it is that I understand that she wants to be recognized as her own person and not like her dad, but she's using too much of his history. Do you know what I mean? The robes. Yeah, the robes, the music and everything. And if she's going to do that, then to me, she needs to bring it all in. Get your dad to teach you to trash talk. That man could trash talk a rat. You know, let's be honest. There could be the most beautiful flower in the world in front of Ric Flair. He could trash talk that flower to the point where you look at that flower and go, you are a nasty piece of shit. And that was how Ric Flair worked. Ric Flair as a face could talk to a piece of shit and you look at that piece of shit and go, you are, that's a damn nice fine looking piece of shit there. But Charlotte doesn't have that. She sounds...
Yeah. It's like they got the teleprompter right there, and whenever the camera moves, she goes with it and talks from it.
It's very forced.
She don't have no expression or emotion behind what she says.
And it's just, that is great.
Charlotte would come out there and be like, I'm the queen. All those will bow down to the queen. Ric Flair out there. Let me tell you something. When we get in the ring,
yeah. And that's the whole thing is that I think, you know, now would be a really good time for those people to do that. And as I say, you can tell that those two. And I think some of it is like you've got people like, oh my God, what's his name? Oh, my God. The one who Cena went against at WrestleMania. He's one who could carry himself because they've managed to find him twice. They've managed to get him really good gimmicks. When he came out, when he was with the little lantern that me and Robert mimicked, when he came out doing that whole thing, that had you. Let's be honest, if you can get an entire arena to go dark and have everybody fumbling for their cell phones to put the flashlight on to wave in the air, and they still do it.
I'll admit to this. I don't know where the hell he got his. I don't know where he got his whole shit from. But a damn sure with
it,
the pop. Right, Rotunda was nothing like this.
Right, and then you've got him like how he is. You've got him how he is now, where he's still psychotic, and he just.
They gotta give him his own
shot. Oh God, yes.
Lighthouse.
Put it on WWE Network. I mean, but let's be honest, they've turned him into probably he's good. You know, when he does enter the Hall of Fame, which I really hope he does at some point in the future, We're going to look back on that and be like, that was damn good thing right there. I like that.
Especially like that. Everybody knows that it's top is vice versa.
Right.
Now, I feel like this. Mike Rotunda is a damn good impression. When he was a baby face, first time I ever seen him wrestle, he was a baby face in WCW. He's damn good wrestler. Now, I know he started off in WWE as like with Barry Windham at the All-American. I really didn't see him wrestle that much then. Then he went on to become BK Wall Street for the York Foundation in WCW. Then he came over to WWE, he became IRS, Earn Our Shyster. Him and Million Dollar Man were really good tag team too, the Money Incorporated. And then that was like, then he went over to WCW again, and he wrestled under his real name, but he was like anti-WCW, even though he wasn't with the NWO. But yeah, where Bray Wyatt got his gimmick, I don't know. Where he got his gift for gab, I don't know.
But it works. Let's be honest. He's one of those who, when he comes out to the ring, he's got that presence that you're just like, well, god dang. You know what I mean? He's just, that's just how he comes across. And it's like with other things, there's other wrestlers who, you know, I'm going back. Let's be perfectly honest. If this was going on when the Boogeyman was still wrestling, that man could come out with a mouthful of worms, spit those worms out, walk back out the ring, and everybody be like, god damn. You know what I mean?
What if I do a wrestler that I'm not even talking about gimmicks? AJ, you probably know what I'm talking about. When you hear their damn theme music, your ass just blow up.
Oh, God, yeah. A prime example is, and I mentioned him earlier, is Edge. It didn't matter what show we went to, did it? Whenever Edge's music played, everyone erupted. Pay-per-views we would go to watch, everybody erupted. And a prime example of that was the Royal Rumble where he came back. Everybody lost it. And then you go on to, like, Undertaker. You hear the first little bar of that door. Everyone's like, ah, Undertaker. Hulk Hogan. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. You didn't even have to hear the
Yep.
All you had to hear was dang. Crowd there,
and
up.
I think, let's be honest, I think when you go back and think about it, Hogan was the one who set the bar for having great entrance music.
Mm-hmm. He was a warrior.
Yeah, they set that bar that, okay, if we're going to have, you know, you've got to have something that the crowd hears it. They're either going to boo you because you're a heel, or they're going to love you because you're a face, but you're going to get that big reaction.
Yeah.
That was like everybody in the night. If you heard Hogan.
Oh, good.
They pissed your pants when you heard that.
You ain't lying. And I think that to me is a good thing. And
I'm still saying greatest WrestleMania moment of all time is Park was number six. They can never recreate that again.
And the other thing is like in regards to the people being able to do a good monologue and everything, good promos, is they need to go back and watch some of the older promos and everything. Watch Ric Flair go off. Watch Macho Man go off. Hulk Hogan. I mean,
Macho Man had to make some goddamn sense, but you tuned in to watch it.
Yeah, I swear to God, you sat there after Macho Man's one like, the hell was he talking about?
You were saying, be like, but damn, he got a point.
And let's be honest, somebody who it does to me does it really well, and you don't understand a goddamn word she's saying is Oscar, because she's so animated.
I'm all for it.
Don't you agree? She's like so animated and so into it. At the end of it, you're like, I agree. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. But I agree. Mm-hmm. She could be rattling off a menu at McDonald's in Japanese, for all we know.
Right. And
but is it true that Vince McMahon said that she's got to learn more English?
Yep.
I know one thing that you miss. Listen in on commentary.
Oh! Oh, Vince on commentary.
She got the network, AJ. She knows shit about that until we started watching old school WrestleMania.
Oh, my gosh.
She never knew that Vince actually commented.
No, I knew he had done a couple of commentaries. I didn't know he had done as many as he had.
And I have to admit to this. Back in the day, early 90s, late 80s, I do miss the countdowns. Let me bring that up to date.
Yep.
I used to do the countdowns. Because that has made your ass want to see the shit that much more. And they had damn good storylines back up in there, so that way the countdown would be entertaining. But for this man, back in the day, used to announce the pay-per-views, like as soon as the countdown was over, he'd run down the card. You couldn't wait for that fucking match to kick off.
Right. Well, we are going to have to end our show now. We've got only 3 minutes left, and my phone is actually nearly dead. So we're going to, I'm going to end this show with a song. But thanks to AJ and for Mike for chatting with us this evening. I'm pretty sure that there'll be more coming on later. AJ, what shows do you have coming up this week?
Friday, I'm going to do the preview of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Okay. And what any others?
Just regular schedule, Monday and Wednesday.
All right. So we will be back next week. We'll have to say goodnight, and we will play my theme tune to say goodnight to everyone.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Mystery case, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Christophe and Kennedy. And a time of invitation you can't be kind. Caviar, cigarette, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice.
She's a killer.
Temporarily out of action, temporarily out of
action. Absolutely.